points of sense, which is the self-driving
Thank you very much for the invitation to come along today. This is a retrospective report rather than a forward-looking plan that we've heard about this morning. I will be very, very brief on the assumption that colleagues around the table have had the opportunity to read the report. That said, just to draw out a few highlights, if I may, just to draw colleagues' attention to the consistent principles that underpin what the board was doing in 2018-19 and continues to do around promoting the well-being of children and young people by recognising that safeguarding is everyone's responsibility and that everything we do we try and do with a child-centred approach. Without going through the report page by page, it does set out the functions of the board, its subgroups, its strategic relationships with boards such as this, the Safeguarding Adults Board, Children's Trust, Community Safety Partnership, and the Local Family Justice Board. All of those relationships are important and continue. There are details within the report of activities undertaken during the year, the audits, updating policies and procedures. You will note from in there the Commission serious case reviews, none were commissioned in that particular year, 2018-19. A lot of activity around communications, promoting what the board does, and a lot of training there as well. And it's been mentioned here this morning that the importance of the service users, and we continue to strive to always try and hear as best we can the voice of the child through audits, liaison with Councillor Brodie's Corporate Parenting Board, and surveys and the like. There's further detail in there around other notable matters. The only help offer on the Isle of Wight was subject to a lot of assurance and scrutiny during the year. We'll note in there the Ofsted inspection of children's social care. We'll recognise the hard work, dedication of staff there and the progress that's been made. There's a lot of work going on around the direct strategy and the toolkit. Elective home education, all of these features, I think this role in different parts of the country are consistent, that they feature on the agenda of safeguarding boards as well, excuse me, partnerships as is. So I say that to assure you that the work we're doing on the island is consistent with what we see elsewhere but with a local focus, which is the COVID. Mentioned in there around the progress that we've noticed with the NHS Trust, we have a good representation on the board through the main people. There was mention there of the work that's done around missing, exploited, and trafficked young people. If I'm here again next year, we'll probably be talking to you about a thing called contextual safeguarding, which is very much the flavour of the moment, which is more about the risks that young people are facing outside of the home. And that's a piece of work that will feature more prominently this year. The priorities of 2018-19 are detailed in there. I won't go through all the activities there, but a couple of things I wish to mention around the family approach, the launch of the protocol, the toolkit, and a number of learning events, such as the Safeguarding Adults Board. We had a priority in that year around what was imagined the title of a cyber-enabled society, but that's really the online world, and we mentioned there very, very successful conference. The annual conferences on the Isle of Wight that the board put together, the credit for that goes to Jamie and her team, are as good as anything I see anywhere in the country, if not better. The level of attendance from practitioners and professionals on the island is absolutely outstanding. A lot of work also done with schools, the like theatre groups, and you wouldn't see in there an initiative that was kicked off by Portsmouth called Lurking Trolls, which is something that continues to be developed. It's an online app-based facility to basically make young people more aware of some of the opportunities and the risks of that are there in the online world. And the other priority of that year was to facilitate the transition to the new arrangements which came in September, which places the emphasis on the three safeguarding partners, the local authority for children's social care, health and safety, and the constabulary. The major arrangements are now in place. be again more detail in next year's report. So in summary, I believe there is a strong partnership on the island with the right levels of representation from the right partner agencies. I mentioned just now about the three safeguarding partners. I would emphasise that the partnership on the island is far more than the three, with representation from the voluntary sector, education sector, fire service, the list goes on. I'll stop there, Chair, and I'm happy to take any questions that you may have.
Certainly more coming on support. To me, the strength of any board is people that attend it. The partnership was incredibly well attended by some pretty senior busy people. Maybe people wouldn't attend meetings, they didn't find them beneficial, see the importance of it. Our meeting was incredibly well attended. That's the point. Excellently chaired. I've never had someone chairing the time like Derek does. And we're grateful for the honour to have Derek's experience of chairing these meetings and bringing his expertise to the table. We've had some great conferences which have been incredibly well attended. We've been almost at Peroni House, we've got Haven now. It's like a big venue next year. But it's comforting to still be here with what we're doing for young people on the island. They couldn't be in safer hands than us. And I'm grateful for what Derek and then the whole team puts into the work they do for the island.
Thank you, Paul. Comments, Mike?
Again, can I thank you for a very detailed report, and I wish to support Paul in the fact that it is very well attended and it's got a lot of skill within that. I think instead of putting a more general question, really, is if there was one thing you felt that needed to be tackled to improve safeguarding, you know, children's safeguarding on the island to reduce the causes of why people come into safeguarding, what would that be? If there was just one clear recommendation, what would that be? And that is a
as I mentioned just now, I think the issues that we focus on the island are replicated across the country. I do this role in different parts of the south and into the Midlands. And we see the same issues there around neglect and the various aspects of that. Some people seem to think across the country that child sexual exploitation has been dealt with. It's a continuing risk to our young people. I mentioned the online world. We've done a lot of work and will continue to do a lot of work with the likes of Catherine and colleagues around adolescent mental health. I think that is an issue. A lot of work has been done in the last year to 18 months around improving services around autism, and the board's been updated regularly on that. That's the diagnosis and subsequent treatment, as it were, and support to families. I mentioned contextual safeguarding. It sounds like a bit of a buzz phrase, but it's also recognising that there are threats, risks beyond the household, and what might be done to make young people aware of what can be done to support them in that. I didn't answer your question, I'll give you one thing, I'll give you a list. So the one thing I'll do would give you a list.
On this issue of just contextualising outside of the home, are you going to actually look at the fact that particularly on our youth services, you now have a lot of our youth services being funded by Down Parish Council, so quite a lot of the actual services for young people, the traditional perhaps providers of those services by unitary authority are different. And I do feel there probably needs to be a work of to look at the safeguarding. And I'm very conscious in the right-hand council that we're now managing a youth service, and I'm not quite sure whether we should or we should be contracting it out.
What's it? terms of that, there are principles that we need to understand about the risks that our young people face wherever they may live, socialise, go to school. But I think it's important to understand the local context. So that's certainly what we'll be doing on the island, understanding the local context.
But we look on television, if you listen to the recent events in Rotherham, and you've extremely listened to them, and I think that right out of the question sort of as mine, is there anything else in the country we could be learning from? Because we don't want to be complacent, whereas we might not have that, and maybe Sarah's quite lucky not putting it out there. So is there anything we're picking up acts on over to the whole environment with our community? Because they live in a rural location, so they're forms of interest in the part we get from the towns and their locations, the online, as we've already mentioned. Just wondering if there's anything else, it's about not being complacent, because we're good.
I'd like to assure you that we're not complacent, and we do look around. I mean, Sarah's example will be networked into the mainland and beyond in terms of issues that are facing policing, whether that's county lines and all those associated issues. But there are things we can learn from. By way of an example, Portsmouth quite recently had a conference around contextual safeguarding. And there are things that we can learn from there in terms of, let's say, the principles and learning to understand the local context. I'm back to the answer just now. So there is no complacence.
Thank you, Noel. I was just almost trying to confirm that there wasn't, you know, I didn't expect that anyway. Just you look around and show us some bits.
Thank you. I've looked through the membership of the board and I can see that you do have secondary school representation and school representation, primary school representation. It's coming back to the leader's question really. I think I'm a school governor and I think when I first became school governor I was slightly daunted by all the training that you do have to do to be a school governor. But when I listened to the leader's question, it's more of a national picture that we all go through. So, you know, the amount of safeguarding training that schools and partner on Government Primary School, I think that's really, really important. It'd be interesting for me that training is updated regularly by a safeguarding board looking and saying, this is part of this national picture, have you thought of doing this as well? So it's more of a two-way process, and I don't know if that happens at the moment.
Certainly, the training offer on the island is a good one, and we look to update it regularly and make sure it meets the needs of the people who need that training. Go off a slight tangent, if I may, having mentioned just now the three safeguarding partners. And the big gap for me is not including education within that. So we make sure that locally the voice of education is a strong one on the board. We've recently recruited a new primary school head teacher to join the board, so that gives us yet another and different perspective. So education has to be front and centre of safeguarding here and everywhere else.
Thank you. I've got John and then Bob. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I think from my perspective, I agree with all the comments that have been made about the report. It's a very positive report. It sets out a huge amount of reassurance for the Health and Wellbeing Board about the work that's been done by the Children's Safeguarding Board. And I think on that basis, Derek's also made a really important point that the work doesn't finish because we have to continue, and we will always have to continue, we'll always have to look into those deep, dark, murky corners where, you know, we need to protect children. So I think from a today's meeting perspective, I think the board needs to be reassured from the paper that that all of our organisations are fully engaged with the safeguarding agenda and doing all that they can, and we need to take that away and feed that back into our own particular organisations. And also look to support the work of the board as it goes forward into the next year. So, as I say, I think there's a real positive messages in here. We need forward, I think, to be reassured and happy reassured, but we also need to not lose sight of the fact that this continues to be a really important issue for all our organisations, and that we're taking all the lessons from the report back into our organisations and making sure they're applicable.
If I refer to page 15, which talks about the number of children subject to a child protection plan within families. The figure now has been going down. It's 60% of what it was in 2014. Does this mean that we take the view that there are fewer children living within families who are at risk? Or could it be a concern that there are actually more children slipping under the radar?
As you can imagine, we have regular dialogue with children's social care. The statistics are always the start of the conversation, and it's understanding what sits behind it. So I think the question is well formed there. What does it mean? And certainly the updates we get from Kathy Maggett and her team, Steve Crockett, gives the assurance that they are on top of this. And I think the Ofsted inspection, the back end of 2018, thank you, said that children's social care here on the island has improved and we will continue to monitor and scrutinise that. I've not heard any suggestion that people are slipping through cracks and pavements, through the net or anything like that. So, as I say, the numbers will always just be the start of the conversation and shouldn't be seen as the be all and end all of the debate.
Simon? And I'd like to wonder about children on the board. That's great. I think for me, it's how do we use that information to form our action together to have lobbying board and take that in a wider role in lobbying board, which is very distinct from the safeguarding role. I think there's something about making sure we know what our role is and so that your facilities do your role.
So, just on a couple of points to reiterate the point about reassurance that having been part of that board for 4.5 years now, what we're achieving, the progress has been quite significant in terms of that. And I think I'm right in saying that if Catherine's here, she's saying she's really alive to your concern around what's that saying in terms of that trend. So absolutely recognising the need to make sure that we are picking up all those cases. Okay.
Thank you.
I think it's important to note that in regard to numbers of children coming into the care system of child protection, and the current performance figures, actually there is a slight increase, right? And this, has been recognised and known by Cabinet and Paul. But I just wanted to put that in context, the actual numbers coming in at the acute end, as it were, is actually slightly creeping up.
What Oxford recognised and what I've seen over the last maybe 3 years now with the cabinet role is that every child that comes into care now is coming for exactly the right reason. They're probably triaged in the beginning. The early detection system that we have is robust, well recognised by Ofsted. They could require less child protection plans, but the assurance I have from my team, and I see it in practice all the time, is that every child in our current care system is there for one reason, and that's what matters to me. I'm not worried about stats. What I'm worried about is the child gets the right care at the right time and the right services. Statistics, yes, they're there for a reason, holding them to account, but it's more the care they get than what the statistic that concerns me.
One question then we'll move to just sum up really. DPS checks. Do you in the safeguarding of having access to information or knowledge of what's happening on the island in relation to DPS checks?
No, would be sorry. I think we need to sort of narrow the question down a little bit more, but in terms of it, as a generality, it's not something that's regular check. Certainly you've got things through the local designated officer, the ladder, so if there's any concerns from any organisation that they're employing, that's the point of reference around that. Depending on the role being talking about whether a DPS check is required or not, but it's not something we monitor in terms of the numbers and the like.
Okay, thank you for that. That's something I'm going to start with that.
not so much in relation to these parts of it, because I'm sure colleagues have here, I've got 5% of the check, but there are some people that don't, and you have questions.
You should.
Yes, so you said an officer in, but I just like to ask questions. Good, thank you very much for the report. As a board, we're happy to note the progress on the report, which is extremely important, I have to say. Thank you for it, and the whole team for the work we're doing on this area. Thank you. I'm going to move on there.